Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Come on, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 18. And we're going to look at our subject again is power of the cross. I started introducing this last Sunday to the group in Buffalo. And so we're going to look at different things and just to show you some things that God wants you to hear tonight. And since I'm in a series, of course, this will only be a portion, but it'll be the part you need to hear for what I stated earlier. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Everybody with me? Okay. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, if you have your Bible, just underline this verse, or on you looking at your device, highlight this verse. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. How many saved folk I got in the house? How many saved? All right. Unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Now listen, it is not the power of God just for a moment. It is not the power of God just for Good Friday. It is the power of God forever. So the preaching of the cross to those who are saved, you and I, it is the power of God. Listen, that means that this power is available in my life for whatever I go through in life. God never wants me to see myself powerless. All right, look at verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So you got to understand, specifically with social media and everything, all these people in the world who think they know what God is doing and what God's plan is, they don't have a clue. Well, you have to understand that you can't allow other people to dictate to you what your Father is doing. I tell people, see, now I don't know about you. I don't look at a lot of social media and I don't listen to a lot of people on social media because I don't want to become confused. You do whatever you feel like you need to do. I'm just saying you have to guard your eyes and guard your ears because of what he says here. God made foolish the wisdom of this world. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Everyone say the power of the cross. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. And look at verse 24. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So look at verse 24 one more time. But unto them which are called, he's talking about the preaching Christ crucified or preaching the cross. He says, to the Jews and the Greeks, it is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So three words that I want you to center on tonight is power, wisdom, and glory. That's what the power of the cross brings power, wisdom, and glory. There are many believers today who are living as if the cross did not make any difference. God wants us to be able to distinguish what occurred before the cross from what occurred after the cross, and to understand the difference the cross has made. Now, put this down in your notes, and this is what we're going to settle everything with tonight. The cross speaks of four things. Five. I got five. I'm sorry. The cross speaks of five things. Number one, the cross speaks of relationship. The cross speaks of relationship. Number two, the cross speaks of restoration. Number three, the cross speaks of redemption. Number four, the cross speaks of reconciliation. And then number five, the cross speaks of reigning. One more time. The cross speaks of, number one, relationship. Number two, the cross speaks of restoration. Number three, the cross speaks of redemption. Number four, the cross speaks of reconciliation. And number five, the cross speaks of reigning. Now, tonight, I want us to look at this because we're going to look at this closer, because I want you to be able to see something to locate where you are. The cross speaks of relationship. Here's my question to you. What relationship are you having with God? What relationship? Now watch this. John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? Come on, quote it. Come on, say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's one relationship. For God so loved the world. That was God relating to the world. And a lot of people, some who don't even go to church, know that verse. And they say, well, God loved me. Yes, he did. But what level of relationship are you having with God? So John 3:16 is one level. Watch this. Go with me. Keep a marker at 1 Corinthians 1 and go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 is another level of relationship. So if the cross speaks of relationship, I have to understand how to take my relationship with God to another level because of the power of the cross, which has given me accessibility and availability to do so. Romans chapter 5. You with me? Watch this. Look at verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more. Everyone say much more. Now watch the relationship go to another level. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So John 3:16 is one level of relationship. Romans 5, 6 through 10 is another level of relationship that God has with man. And it's his relationship with redeemed man. And listen, you have to look and see where your relationship is with God. I had to learn many years ago that Because in the church I went to, we used to always say this, I am a sinner saved by grace. No, I was a sinner. Once I got saved by grace, I am no longer a sinner. I am redeemed. If I associate with the sin, I'm still in the John 3:16 relationship, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But I believed in him, so I am no longer perishing, and I am redeemed. So now my relationship with God goes to another level. Watch this, to where God says, because of the power of the cross, stop bringing to me your flaws, your faults, your failures, and your fumbles, and understand I already love you. I've already redeemed you. That doesn't give us an excuse to sin. It gives us a grace not to. You following me? So that now I can now love him from a place of confidence instead of, here's a relationship that many Christians find themselves in. They're in this place of trying to win God's approval and God's acceptance. Because of the cross, I have been accepted by God. So are you relating to God from the place of what Jesus has already done for you? Or are you relating to God from the place of what you do trying to win his approval? Are you relating to God from a place where you're trying to win his acceptance? Or are you relating to God from a place of you know that our relationship is secure? You see the difference? God wants you to go to another level of confidence. Every year we celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and rightly so. But also every year, there's still many Christians struggling with their salvation. Why? They have not embraced the fullness of the power of the cross to where they can change the level of their relationship and go from struggling to security. Go from straining to one of joy and confidence because God loves me. Now I got to ask you a question. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Did he do it? He loved the world and he did that. Did the world love him? No, and it didn't stop him. Listen, it didn't stop him from doing it. Listen, the world didn't love him and it didn't stop him from sending Jesus. You love him. So we read the verse, how much more will he send something for you because you love him in a world that didn't love him? Oh, the cross speaks of relationship. The world didn't want Jesus, but it didn't stop the Father from sending Jesus. You have received Jesus, so he doesn't want you struggling in your relationship with him because he loved you before you even came into the relationship with Jesus. Look back at Romans 5. Look back at Romans 5. Look at this. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, everybody read, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly got a move of God and they weren't believing for it, all because of God's love. Look at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. Now, do we have another translation in here? Okay, what translation do you have? Okay, can you read verse 8? Now, the King James says, but God commended his love toward us. What does yours have? Okay, wait, stop. King James says, God commended his love for us. I want you to see this. The ungodly wasn't believing, and Jesus died for them. They got a move of God. You love him, and God says, now I want you to expect the move of God. The King James says, but God commended his love toward us. What does that mean? The NIV says, he demonstrated. Come on, read it. He demonstrates his own love for us that while I was yet a sinner, I got a move from God. He sent Jesus to die for me. Well, now that I'm in Christ, I'm born again, and God has seen me doing my best to live for him, doing my best to believe him, doing my best to trust him. He's seen me in my effort, and now I'm thinking, not really me, but I'm using me as an example. I'm thinking that I got to do this to win God's approval. God says, no, you don't. Because I moved for you while you were yet a sinner, and now I'm going to move for you because you're in me, and I see that you're purposing to believe me the best way you can. That's why he told me to tell you, get ready. I'm going to surprise you with something in your life because I'm going to demonstrate that you're not by yourself, that I love you. I appreciate you not giving up on me. I appreciate you not giving up on the gospel. I appreciate you standing, no matter how hard it got, no matter how hard the struggle was, you still stood fast and you chose to trust me in spite of how you felt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And God says, I'm commending my love toward you even more. Say amen, somebody. That's why verse 9 says, much more. I can expect much more. So the cross speaks of relationship. And now you have to locate your relationship with God. That you stop feeling guilty when you haven't prayed enough. That prayer is not a religious duty. Prayer is a relationship. That you stop feeling guilty because, man, I didn't go to church last week. You have to understand, he's not looking for you to give in to spiritual laziness. He wants you to understand that when I don't go, there was somebody there. He wanted to use my presence to encourage. Yes, it's called the power of presence. So you have to understand, I just don't go to church. I'm on assignment at a church. You see the difference? You have to understand that you have to stop feeling guilty for not doing the religious duties that you feel like you got to do just to win God's approval. Everyone say, I already have God's approval. Now say, Holy Spirit, help me to live my life like I'm already approved. Help me to live my life instead of trying to win God's favor. I already have it. Instead of trying to win God's acceptance. Instead of trying to get past the feeling guilty and condemned, I understand that the power of the cross speaks of relationship. And God's relationship with me is he's relating to a redeemed person. I'm redeemed. I'm not flawed. I'm redeemed. But Pastor Mark, you're not perfect. No. We're not talking about flawlessness. I'm redeemed. I have been bought and paid for. I'm his. And no one else can pluck me from his possession. I'm redeemed. I want you to see that tonight. Why is he going to move for you? You're redeemed. This year, when you celebrate Resurrection Sunday, this year, when you celebrate Passover, this year, when you celebrate Good Friday, he wants you to do it from a different place in your relationship with him. That you stop focusing on where you come short at and understand that wherever your shortage is, he's made up the difference. Say, I'm redeemed. That's the relationship. So that now you'll stop struggling with, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this. No, you just have to be who he has called you. Who am I? I'm God's child. And that governs how I act, that governs how I talk, that governs how I respond, that governs my countenance, that governs everything about me. I'm God's child. I'm redeemed. That's my relationship. Let's look at something else. Let's look at something else. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1. Watch this. Anybody get anything so far? Watch this. All right, 1 Corinthians 1. You got to see this now. Because, see, the thing that you have to learn is that as you capture this, you'll understand reigning in life comes from you understanding your relationship with God. God is not a hard taskmaster ready to punish you. God is not someone ready to beat you over the head. Watch this. He loved you while you were a sinner and you weren't even thinking about him. You was doing your own. You were doing your own thing. I'm sorry, everybody on the call. I'm sorry. You were doing your own thing. Didn't have him in mind. And all the time he had you in mind. God has never stopped thinking about you. God has not stop planning for you. I know sometimes it feels like, man, I'm not getting anywhere in my life. I know. I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and the hat. I understand. I know sometimes it feels like you're stuck in this rigmarole, the same routine in life, and it doesn't seem like you're not getting anywhere. So sometimes you just want to bail out. No, don't bail out. Just keep believing God. Amen. So watch this, watch this. So he said this, 1 Corinthians 1 again. You got to see this. You got to see this. Verse 18 again. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's not you and I. That's not us. So you should never get tired of the preaching of the cross because look what it says. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power to live for God. It's the power to live because of God. It's the power to live in God. And it's the power to live representing God. There's some Christians who do not know how to enjoy life. They don't know that God wants them to live. One of the things I've always loved about talking to my girl, she loved to travel. Back in the day, she loved to travel. She ain't let no grass grow up under her feet. She loved to travel. But every time I would hear her talk, even though she tried to explain it, I said this to myself, she was choosing to live. It wasn't at that moment all about living for God. She was trying to learn how to embrace her life wherever that was. I want to know what life is about. Well, here's what I want to show you today. You want to know why some Christians don't receive surprises from God like he wants to? Because they shut him out because they are married to their routine and don't understand how to embrace the relationship. Now, Herb and Stephanie, how long y'all been married? Almost 30 years? Is that what she said? Danny and Lily, how long y'all been married? 36 years? Trust me, everyone else, trust me. These brothers would not have been married that long if they didn't learn how to surprise their wives with some things. Trust me, they had to learn how to surprise them and understand that their wives are looking for. Why? Because that is part, listen, of a covenant relationship that God will surprise. Spouses will surprise one another. And so I want believers to know that God says, in this season, I'm going to give you a surprise. Can you give God some praise for that? Glory to God. So, here's the thing that we have to catch. Jesus' victory over Satan. Now, the Apostle Paul was the only one who knew about and shared about the revelation of the cross. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see that the cross was a mystery to Satan. He didn't know anything about what was going on. Look at this. Flip over one page to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1. Now, when we read this now, you have to understand the theme of what he's talking about is the power of the cross or the preaching of the cross. He's not letting go of this theme. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. So when he reads this, I mean, as he writes this, of course, it was a letter. There was not no chapter and verses. It was just one letter. A lot of people break it up that when they start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they go to a new thought. They think God is talking about something else. And the Apostle Paul is still talking about the preaching of the cross, which is the power of God. Case in point, look back at verse 24 of chapter 1. One more time. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But unto them which are called, everybody say, that's us, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So now in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is going to pick this back up and talk about power, and he's going to talk about the wisdom of God. Watch. Let's start at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's still talking about the preaching of the cross. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's talking about how he reverenced God. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Where is that coming from? The preaching of the cross. She read it to us from the NIV, from Romans 5, that God was demonstrating his love to us by dying, sending Jesus to die for us while we were yet sinners. All right, so look at this. Verse 5. Why are you doing all of this, God? And this is what you got to understand tonight. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now listen, dear heart, listen. God wants you to stop trying to make your life work and to trust him with your life. Stop trusting in, look at what it says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, what I can make happen, what I think I'm smart enough to cause, what I think I can make happen. I know what's best for me. No, you don't. How I think I should make my life go. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If I can convince you tonight to turn in your credentials of controlling your life by your own smarts and your own intelligence and trust God, it will put you in position to experience a surprise suddenly from God in the next few days in the name of Jesus. But see, God is not going to fight you for control of your life. even though that you believe in him, even though that you trust him enough that he sent Jesus, and you may have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But now we're talking about going to another level in relationship. It says here that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Remember, we just read 1 Corinthians 1:24, that the preaching of the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at verse 6. How be it, Paul writes, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. He's talking in reference to the spiritual connotation is the satanic forces. We wrestle not against powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So he says here, he says, we're not speaking the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He's referring to the preaching of the cross. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Let me ask you this question. When was the Lamb of God sacrificed? According to Revelations, before the foundation of the world. That's found in Revelations 13 and 8, I believe. And so it says here, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world, through Satan, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had Satan known it, he would not have been behind pushing those people and influencing those people to crucify Jesus. He thought that he was conquering God's plan by crucifying. So one of the things that I want you to know, in addition to what I've added, or I've already shared, rather, is this. The revelation of the cross, the revelation of the cross reveals that everything that has been a blockage to you, an opposition to you, Jesus nailed it to the cross for you. That's why all your shame, all your guilt, all your sin, all your condemnation has been nailed to the cross, and he doesn't want you to live condemned. He doesn't want you to live shamed. He doesn't want you to live embarrassed. He doesn't want you to live guilty. He wants you to live free in a liberating relationship with him, allowing him to love you freely and you freely love him back. Say praise the Lord. So just to show you that, just to show you, let me show you real quick. Let me show you real quick. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Then I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 2, and then we'll wrap it up tonight. Because I want you to see something tonight. Tonight, I want every obstacle that has been hindering you, that has been every stubborn problem, I want it nailed to that cross and out of your life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Every lingering thing, everything that seemed like you couldn't get past, everything that it seemed like, glory to God, you couldn't get beyond. I want that thing nailed to the cross that Jesus died on so that you can be free tonight. Can you say praise the Lord? Glory to God. All right. Colossians chapter 2. Now for me, along with 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians 2, this is the icing on the cake. Colossians chapter 2. Let's start at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Everyone say, this is the operation of God. Yeah. Look at this. Look at this. Who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many trespasses? How many trespasses? So how many trespasses is God holding against you? None. What thing is God holding against you to prevent you getting the answer to your prayer? None. He wants you to get that thought out of your mind that he won't answer your prayer. Stop judging the answer to your prayer by time or by what you see. Judge the answer to your prayer by what he has said. So your prayers are not time bound. You with me? And your prayers are not defined by the outcome of something. Your prayers are defined by what did your father say to you. Can you see the difference? Look at this. Verse 13 again. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And verse 14. This is it for me. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Glory to God. Everything that was against me, everything that I owed, all the charges against me, all the debt, all the requirements that I couldn't even keep up with, all of that, Jesus nailed it to the cross so that it could no longer be held against me, Steph. It can no longer be brought up. Satan can't bring it up. Other people can't bring it up. And God says, now, Mark, don't you bring it up. I have nailed it to the cross. So now, with that said, in the name of Jesus, come on, lift your hands right where you are. I, by the Spirit, I nail all stubborn problems that have been nagging you in your life. I nail them to the cross in the name of Jesus. They will no longer be an obstacle, and they will no longer oppress you nor depress you in Jesus' name. Now receive that tonight. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My brothers and sisters, that's good news. That's good news. So let's end tonight by looking at this. Glory to God. And I'll give you three things just so that you can have something with you. Glory to God. Yeah, we'll do this. Because of the cross, of course, we know this. The price of sin, the price for sin has been paid. Because of the cross, the judgment has been executed. Because of the cross, we know this. But we've got to live in the revelation of this. Because of the cross, the veil has been torn, giving all of us direct access to the Father's presence, to the Father's power, and to his performance. I'm asking the Lord to grant you a performance that you didn't even think you had faith for in the name of Jesus. For God to show you that you are loved in spite of all you've been going. How many would like to see God just do something just to show me, Lord, just show me you love me. You know, I found out something that when you read the Bible and every time God's people went through tough times, he always came through for them and he brought them something that brought them either a relief, a revival, restoration, reformation, or refreshing. He wanted to let them know, you're my people. There's a scripture, I believe it's in Isaiah 43. I believe. I'm gonna try to quote it. If not, it'll be a half quote, but here you go. He says, you'll go through the water and you won't get drowned. You'll go through the fire and you won't be burned. I call you, I got to show y'all this. He said, I call you by your name. Somebody needs to see this tonight. Somebody needs to see this because I believe God is speaking to you to let you know. God is trying to encourage somebody tonight. Who is that God wants to encourage tonight? He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to let you know, glory to God, that your believing is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. Your praying is not in vain. Go to Isaiah 43. Look at this, Isaiah 43. This is for somebody tonight. I don't know who it's for, but it's for somebody tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at this. Isaiah 43. When you get there, say, I'm there. All right. If you still turn and say, wait on me. Come on. Isaiah 43. You got to get this. Hallelujah. He wants somebody to catch this tonight. He or she who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, let them hear. Let them hear. Verse 1, Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. Who's talking? The Lord. O Jacob. Now, you can put your name in there. And he that formed thee, O Israel. Look what God says. Fear not. Help me get to the cross. Look at your neighbor. Find somebody and say, fear not. Come on, tell them. Fear not. Now, help me. Look back at him and say, don't be afraid. Come on, say it. Don't be afraid that things are going to be like they've always been. Fear not. Look at this. Fear not. Look what God says. For I have redeemed thee. That's that relationship I was talking to you about. Look at this. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Look at this. You are mine. Verse two. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. There's somebody here been going through something and feel like they was about to drown. The problems, the pressure from it, the overwhelming feeling. I come to tell you tonight, there's no drowning in your destiny in the name of Jesus. Look at this. I will be with you and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I say in Jesus' name that the pressure you've been feeling from problems, you will no longer encounter it, that you won't even smell like you've been through it. There'll be no indication or evidence that you have gone through that thing because God is moving for you. Say amen, somebody. And look at verse 3. For I am the Lord your God. Say, he is my God. Say, he is my God. Now listen, he moved for you when you were ungodly. For the ungodly, he sent Christ to die for us. You didn't pray for it. You didn't fast for it. You didn't give no offering for it. You didn't go to no meeting for it. He did it. You got a move of God. Ungodly. Didn't deserve it. But now, because of the power of the cross, you're in him. And he says, now, my child, you've been going through something. I want you to expect a demonstration of love from me. Come on, say, I receive. That's what's going to take place in this resurrection season for you. That this is not going to be the same Easter season, same Good Friday, same Resurrection Sunday, same Passover. It's not going to be the same. I'm going to do something different for you, my child, because I am your God. I've been watching your faithfulness. I've been watching your steadfastness. I've been watching, the Lord says, your perseverance. I've been watching that even when you messed up and did something wrong, you had enough integrity to repent and come to me and not run from me. I've been watching. And now the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. In other words, those whose heart is loyal to him and willing to trust him. Do we have any loyal believers in here who trust the Lord? Come on, somebody say, that's me, that's me. And God says, I'm going to do it for you because I love you. I'm going to demonstrate it for you because I love you. And you're not going to look like what you have been through. You're not going to smell like what you've been through. There's not going to be any indication or evidence upon you because you're going to see my demonstration because of the power of the cross. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. We're going to pray. Just lift your hands right where you are. Come on, everybody, on a faith call. Don't spectate. I want you to participate. Glory to God. You lift your hands right where you are. Engage his presence. Engage his presence. Now, I don't know what you've been going through, but God does. I don't know what's been heavy on your heart, but God does. I don't know what has been lingering and has been wearing you out emotionally and mentally and even physically in some cases. What I do know is God says, I'm causing a switch in your life. I'm turning some things around. Now, I'm asking you to lift your hands and close your eyes. Glory to God. And as I pray, you're going to be expecting a switch, a turnaround to take place in your life. God is flipping the script of your story in the name of Jesus. What has been looking like one way, things have been looking like one way, that thing is going to totally turn and it's going to look an entirely different way in the name of Jesus. So, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, you know our discussion on the way here. And I've asked you to give your people a demonstration. And we've read it in your word. We are in agreement with your word. Father, you commended your love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. So, Father, demonstrate your love tonight in the name of Jesus. Give your people a demonstration that will cause encouragement to come. Give them a demonstration that will cause joy to come. Give them a demonstration that will cause healing to come. Give them a demonstration that will call, glory to God, I see this surge of energy and life. They're going to get the life back in the name of Jesus. Give them a demonstration that will cause fresh hope to come in the name of Jesus. I say in Jesus' name, your weary days are over in the name of Jesus. Your feeling worn out days are over. Your days of being stuck are over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God says, I am coming through for you. Come on, receive it tonight. Receive it tonight. I am coming through for you in the name of Jesus. I'm turning some things around. I'm flipping the script, and we give you praise. Now, begin just blessing the Lord right where you are. Come on, just bless the Lord and thank him for it. Come on, just bless him and thank him for it in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody on the faith call, begin thanking the Lord for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got to mean it from your heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for the turnaround. Thank you for flipping the script. Thank you for changing the story. Thank you, Father, that things were looking one way and you're totally causing them to be changed and turned to an entirely different way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that there will be no evidence, no indication on us of what we have gone through because you're causing fresh life to come to us in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. We give you praise for it. We give you praise for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.